Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Let us worship God. I will read first from John chapter 11, in which Jesus goes and speaks with the family of Lazarus before he raises him from the dead. Had every expectation, had the plan, was going to raise him from the dead. But Martha and Mary questioned him and told him that Lazarus would not have died, their brother would not have died if Jesus had been there. He made it very plain to them that he was there in a certain sense, even though he stayed until the fourth day to go there. Martha makes a statement of faith and says, "I know that he will rise again at the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, he who comes into the world." Let us stand and pray and ask the Lord to meet with us and close that prayer with the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, you've promised to meet with us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that every time we gather to worship, we are simply joining a worship that is already continuing, that it is always there before your throne. And we are already represented by the 24 elders. We're represented by those beings that represent the creation. And we're represented by Jesus, our Savior. And we're represented by the Holy Spirit. In fact, we understand that both the Spirit and the Son are praying for us. And so when we pray, we're always, every time, late for the prayer meeting. But we ask, based on your promise, that you would meet with us today. We meet for a special occasion. We meet to ask your blessing, to ask your comfort in the homegoing of Harry King. This is an important event for us, and we ask that you would be with us. We invoke your presence in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who told us and who is the resurrection and who taught us when we pray to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Please be seated. The family has specifically asked that we concentrate on a verse in John 14, something Jesus said at the Last Supper. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Therefore, I'm moving through some of John, stopping at various points to recognize that Jesus comes into the world, that Jesus succeeds at his work as Messiah, that Jesus fulfills all the promises. He wins. He won in Gethsemane. He won on the cross. He won at the tomb. He won on the first day of the week and at his ascension thereafter. He leaves, and when he leaves, he grants us peace. Harry King, Harry and Jean King, have meant a lot to us. And some faces here know more about that than I do, and most don't anymore, I think. But they mentored us after we spent 1 year here under his tutelage and under the leadership of other elders without a senior pastor here. I was given seminary instruction by ruling elders, which was a very great privilege. And then after another, after a final year of seminary, it was Harry who called. Harry and Jean, having kept touch through the year, called and asked if we would come back and explained a philosophy of ministry, explained how youth work was parallel to heating and air conditioning, and specifically how working with youth was very parallel to starting a new business in which you starved the first year. And you ate a few sandwiches the second year, and the third year you could begin to receive the fruit and to appreciate the fruit. And so he told us that we would, if we came and stayed 1 year, that we would make a difference, but we wouldn't be able to tell it. And if we stayed a second year, we would begin to taste it just a little bit, and the third year we would rejoice in what we saw in the work with the young people. And so we followed his plan. We said yes, and we came. And that is a huge difference to our lives. I found out about the church. Probably most of you don't know that that the seminary I attended here was called the Ping Pong Seminary. Harry was the chairman of the Ping faculty, and Pat Holbrook was the chairman of the Pong faculty. And John made a ping pong table about this big, with a little net and a little ball on a spring that never made it over the net. And that was my graduation present from this seminary. They taught me a lot. And I rejoice in their faithfulness. Of course, we got to live just a few houses away from them on East Tallulah, you know, before it runs into Rockbridge. Jesus is our bond, though. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is why we did youth work. It's why we worship. It's why we come to Sunday school. It's why we have fellowship with one another. John 1:14 says Jesus came into the world. It says, after 400 years of silence between the Testaments, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And just recognize that. It dwelt among people like you and me and Harry and Jean. Dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. Jesus came into this world to save sinners such as we are. And so that's the coming of Christ. Now, faith in Christ, one verse as we go through John, to point out would be John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you recognize that it's complete, the door is completely open, is completely inclusive in that sense, but there's only one Jesus, and it's exclusive in that sense. But the door is wide open to come through Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Christian faith, faith in Christ, John 3:16. John 6 tells us about how we are converted, how we come to Christ. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. We had a little discussion at the cemetery a little while ago about all the little doors in the floor, in the grass. Y'all didn't know there were doors, did you? But that was the question, was who closed the door and when did the doors get opened? And the answer in one sense is, well, we don't open the doors again. We close the doors. Put a piece of bronze there, something else. And it's closed. But that's not the end. And Jesus says so in John 6:44. I will raise him up on the last day. When Jesus comes back, those doors open. I don't know what happens to the bronze. I think it gets burned up. But I know what happens to the souls. They are resurrected. They're reunited with the bodies. Harry's soul will be reunited with the body that we placed in the ground just minutes ago. and he will be forever with the Lord, even as he is now. John 6:44, conversion, coming to Christ. And then John, my guess is that if you were to go through John and pick out these verses for me, or if we'd worked on a committee to come up with verses, I'm not sure you would have gotten one out of John 7, but I will share one with you that was taught us by our seminary professor and our pastor in seminary, Jack Miller, that we saw in Harry's life. He who believes in me, which would be Harry and you and me, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So Jesus comes, Jesus changes us, Jesus converts us, the Spirit draws us to him. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. And then as he gives us that bread from heaven himself, as he gives us the water of life, which is himself, it fills us up to the place that it spreads to others around. And that's my testimony. That's Ruth's and my testimony to this couple, to Harry and Jean and their family. From his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. An amazing statement. Now for Phyllis and John and Susan, Cynthia and their families, we come to John 10 particularly. And this may affect others beyond them, certainly the next two generations now beyond them. John 10, Jesus is the one who holds us in the palm of his hand. John 10 tells us that Jesus is the good shepherd. John 10 tells us that Jesus is the one in whom we have eternal life. And then he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. That's one of the greatest promises in Scripture. John 10 is one of my favorite passages because it ties directly to Psalm 23. My Father, who has given them to me, Jesus says, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And then he says something that shocked everybody around him. He said, I and the Father are one. And the Jews understood him. Y'all know what they did? They decided to stone him. Because they knew that he was saying, I am God. They were right in one sense. He was saying he was God. They were wrong in another very important sense. He is God. And it's in his hand that our souls are placed. Jean and Warren and Harry and all our loved ones who've gone before us. And us now, if we believe in him, he has us in the palm of his hand. And neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, things present, height, depth, nothing in creation can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ, love of God in Jesus Christ, because he's got us in the palm of his hand. And his Father has us in the palm of his hand. And Jesus and his Father are God. And the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, will convince you of that. As we move into the time at the Last Supper, where Jesus teaches them about love, he also commands it, John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. We are to be bound in the body of Christ. We are to be bound in our Christian homes, our Christian families, and to love as he's loved us. We did not deserve it. Your other family members don't deserve it. And you don't deserve it. And nobody in your church deserves it. And Jesus says, those are the ones I want you to love. And I want them to love you in spite of who you are, because I loved you this way. that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then we get to John 14, verse 27, the verse that the family particularly wants y'all to meditate on. Peace I leave with you. So if you're in the hands of Jesus, if you've been drawn to him, if you've come to him only through Jesus and not through some way you've made up on your own, if you've recognized your sins, if you've been born again, I didn't talk about that in John 3, but you know what it says, how he explains that to Nicodemus, then you have peace. We read from Psalm 46 a little bit ago, and that talks about the world just being in an upheaval and everything turning upside down. And when you lose your second parent, that's one of the things that it feels like. When you realize we're the generation now. There's no mom and daddy with us anymore. Your world changes in an amazing way. But Jesus says, don't worry. I give you peace. Peace I give to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. We're not talking about Armistice Day. We're talking about peace with God. We're talking about peace having your sins forgiven and being forever with the Lord. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid, nor let it be fearful. I would go on to John 15, just to be sure that every one of us as individuals will recognize that if we're not connected to Jesus, we dry up and blow away. We become chaff. We become something you throw on what we call the burn pile at our house. The burn pile at our house is way above our head. We're waiting for rain. We can't get rain enough to burn the thing. But if you're connected to the vine, if you're connected to Jesus, you have nothing to worry about. Psalm 1 says you have nothing to worry about. Jeremiah says you have nothing to worry about. You'll be green. You will grow. The sunshine will bless you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me, who stays stuck in me, this is Jesus speaking, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Put your trust in him. I mentioned a little while ago that the Marine hymn, and I think of Harry in a lot of different ways, but one of the ways that I know I can't say he was a Marine, I know better than that. He is a Marine, and I know that he knew that part of the Marine hymn, as it's called, in which he said, if the Army and the Navy ever look on heaven's scene, they will see the streets guarded by United States Marines. Along with that, in the symbol, ever since 1975, there's an anchor. And I recognize the anchor does not represent Jesus in the Marine Corps symbol. But every time I see the symbol, I think about Jesus. I think about the cross and the crown. I think about the anchor that is beyond the veil, the anchor for our souls. And I would ask that you would think about these words of this old hymn. Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful. You see John 14, 27 stuck in there. I am peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure. And it holds. My anchor holds. Blow your wildest then, O gale, on my bark, on my little boat so small and frail. By his grace I shall prevail, for my anchor holds, it firmly holds. Harry King took us in. He protected us. He mentored us. He advised us. He supported us in that last year of seminary, physically speaking. He loved us. He feted us. He celebrated us. He encouraged us. He encouraged us beyond our abilities. He explained life to us in ways that I could understand and remember. He rejoiced with us. He grieved with us. Jesus has protected him and received him the same way. And my call to you is, number one, run to Jesus. His arms are open wide. If you've never done it, run to Jesus. Because he receives you now, and he'll receive you then. He watches over his own. He died for us. He tasted death for us. He paid the penalty for us. He suffered hell for us. And so when one of us comes through after a life here on this earth, maybe battered and maybe having gone through very difficult times for years, maybe our whole lives, he's happy to see us, and he throws a party. And I praise the Lord for the testimony that he's given us. But I'm giving Harry no credit. Y'all got that, right? I'm giving Gene no credit. Giving the children no credit. It all goes to Jesus. He saves us. But when he works in us a trophy of his grace, we can say, praise the Lord. And as I look at these three generations now, that's what I'm looking for. And I'm already praising the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your work in this family. We ask your blessings on Phyllis and Susan and John and their families, Cynthia and her family, the girls, Caroline. We ask you to bless the whole extended family. We pray for the little ones that are coming up and for the ones we've not yet met. The promises you give us in the Psalms are that the blessings go far beyond those that we can see during our lifetime. And if we can see some that are two or three generations removed, we're greatly blessed. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the finished work of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the finished race of Harrison King. We thank you for the joy that he has given us, for his faithfulness, for his love, and for his facing death and eternity with peace. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would go with each member of this family. I pray that as we look at death, that we would not deny it, that we would see it as a separation, that we would see it as something that hurts and is worth tears and grief. But we do not grieve as those who have no hope. For when we speak of the sure and certain hope of the resurrection, that's exactly what you've taught us to mean. And so we receive Jesus in faith. We find our hope in him, secure hope, and we desire to live in love, and we rejoice in the peace of Jesus Christ in our lives. We pray that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, would indeed provide that peace. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. A statement of faith is the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," is found on page 691, hymn 691 in the hymnal. Let us stand and sing "It Is Well." Receive the benediction. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of His Holy Spirit be with you this afternoon and forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Phyllis and Susan and John will receive friends and family at the front of the, right here in front of the pulpit.